Ah, the first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
Star Wars 7x7, episode 3263. Today is the first of a three-part interview. This is the longest interview I have yet conducted in Star Wars 7x7 history, and I'm very excited to share it with you. Punch it! Hey Rebel Rouser, I'm Alan Voivod, and this is Star Wars 7x7, your daily dose of Star Wars joy. And thank you so much for joining me for it. So Tom Holler is a senior editor with Random House Worlds, formerly Del Rey, basically the part of Penguin Random House that publishes, among other titles, all of the Star Wars books that you know and love. Tom and I talked for about an hour and a half last month, and I am breaking that conversation down into three parts, of which the first one is arriving here today. In this part of the conversation, we kick things off by talking about Tom's title as senior editor and what that really entails. And the fact of the matter is that it's way more than just editing. So we will dig into that. And we'll also talk about his editing process as well, because he is reading the books 5, 6, 7 times that he's editing. And at various points in the process, he is thinking about one group of people or another group of people or combining them as the case may be. And so how he goes through that process and who he's thinking about, that's something we're going to dig into as well. For me in this moment, though, it just remains for me to say thank you so much for joining me for this episode of the podcast, as always, and may the Force be with you wherever in the world you may be. And now, without further ado, here is part one of my conversation with Tom Holler, senior editor at Random House Worlds.
Tom Holler, thank you so much for joining me on Star Wars 7x7. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me, Alan. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing very well, thank you. I'm very excited to talk with you. You and I, of course, have only had the opportunity to talk in very brief snippets at Celebration Anaheim was the last time, but I'm very much looking forward to a longer conversation with you today.
Yeah, this is going to be great. I know I think last time we chatted, we literally had a one-minute interview on the show floor amidst all the noise and the din of Celebration. So this will be a little bit different, I think.
Yes, I think it was the Culture Fly booth that was next to your booth, and they had the constant thump-a-thump-a-thump-a.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. So this will definitely be a much more climate-controlled, so to speak, kind of environment. So let me start off by asking you a little bit about what you do, because it's definitely so much more than your official title, which is senior editor for Random House Worlds. I think people might be surprised to know that your work includes so much more than just editing. So would you share a little bit about what your job actually entails?
Sure. Yeah, so the title says senior editor, but the actual editing part, you know, sitting and reading a manuscript or putting together revision notes for an author or, you know, brainstorming a solve to some sort of like plot problem, et cetera, that's really, I would say, I don't know, maybe about probably less than half of actually what I do. And certainly on like a day-to-day basis, it is not what I am doing like 9 to 5, Monday through Friday for the most part.
Wow.
Yeah, I know it's surprising, and every time I tell people that, I get that same sort of reaction.
Yeah.
That, you know, my day is not spent set in a giant armchair surrounded by like cats with warm beverages and just piles of pages. Not quite, regrettably. So what my job actually entails, I mean, the bulk of it day to day, is that it is a balance between that stuff, the sort of reading and the actual editing, and then the big part of what I do is, I guess, what we would call project management. Mm-hmm. It's my job as part of the publisher to shepherd the books from being just a collection of words on a Word document all the way to being a final book that you can go into a bookstore or order off the internet. And a book has to go through a pretty long journey to get to that. And it has to go through a lot of different hands. It has to cross through a lot of different teams. And my team, the editorial team, is sort of at the center of that. We are, like, I often describe editors and senior editors as the fulcrum of the book process. And it's my job to, like, help make sure that the project is running on time and help make sure that every other team involved in the project, whether it's the marketing team, publicity, production, art and design, whoever it happens to be, that they have whatever they need in order to do their part of the job. And so it's my job to be, you know, feeding information to people or connecting two teams if a decision of one team is going to affect the scheduling of the decision of another team. And a big part of my job is being involved every step of the way, because as the editor, I know the book, I know the author, I know the story best. So inevitably, when a question comes up about it, I might not be the person with the answer, but I probably have to be in the room when the answer is being talked about in case they need to reference something. So that's what I do most day to day. I'm in meetings or connecting people or sending material, you know, parts of the book or something from one person to another to help inform them so that they can do the job of helping put the book together. So it's a lot of project management. It's a lot of chatting with people, sending people things, organizing stuff. yeah, it's just a lot of that. And that is what I do for the most part on a day-to-day basis. And because I'm a senior editor, I'm not doing that with just one book. I'm probably doing that with like four or five books at a time, all in different stages of their sort of journey or life cycle in the publishing process. So, you know, I might start off the morning by sending some files to the production team because they're starting to, you know, take the book from being like a Word document and laying it out in, you know, I think we use InDesign, but, you know, laying it out so that it looks like an actual book. Mm-hmm. But for another book, I'm like reviewing the final proofs, the last version of that right before we send it to the printer. And still another book, I'm sending a document to the sales team because they got to know about this new project so they can start to talk to booksellers about it. And so all of that might be going on the same like 2 hour stretch of a morning, hence the project and the management part of the job.
Right. And this is not all necessarily for Star Wars, because you're doing this with a bunch of other IP too, I would imagine. Is that right?
That's right. So Star Wars probably takes up the bulk of what I'm working on, but I work on things with folks who work at Blizzard. I've done things with some folks at Netflix. I've worked with Hasbro and Wizards of the Coast. So yeah, I work on a variety of different IPs. The Star Wars stuff just happens to take up the bulk of my work. And if I'm being really honest, Star Wars is the thing that I love the most.
Well, that's always wonderful to hear. And then what occurs to me, at least having some similar experience, but from a commercial and direct to consumer side of things. On the project management side of things, you talk about there's obviously the words, and then there's also the not just the pretty pictures, but the design of things. But it sounds like from your perspective, you are project managing as well as having the ability to do the editorial side of things. Do you also have the design facility? Are you trained in that as well? Or is there somebody that then reports up to you on the design side of things who's talking to you about how things look and about the artwork that comes for the covers and whatnot?
Art and design are very much not my forte. and thankfully, thankfully we have amazing people on our art and design team. And so what I will do is I will sit down with them for each book and project, and we will talk about what the goals are for the art and design. So we actually have a person on the team whose job it is that, you know, once we've got a book that's ready to start through its production cycle, they will do some draft layouts of like, here's the fonts that we could use, and here's how we could arrange the chapter headers, and here's how we could arrange the like title page or the openers. And we will sit and chat, and we'll talk about like, oh, is there cool some cool iconography associated with this book? Is there some cool character art that we could layer in? If you open up the title page of like any Star Wars book you have, especially in recent years, you'll see all sorts of different design things. And so mm-hmm. that comes with a conversation from our amazing designer. And the same is true for the packaging, for the front and the back cover. We have some great folks on the art team, amazing art directors, who I will sit down with every book and say, okay, here's the project. Here's, you know, the era it's in. Here are the characters. Here's the sort of like vibe we're going for. Here is the like the mood or the feel of this book. And we will brainstorm together what we think the best kind of cover is. And then they will go out and find some amazing artists, and we'll sit and chat about them and choose somebody and then shepherd that all the way through the iteration process. Luckily, there are many, many other people involved with this, because I just, art is not something I've ever had a facility with. I have a little bit of training in being able to talk about art and design a little bit, being able to talk about terminology as far as like, if the design is, you know, kind of working, if the you know, fonts are, you know, readable versus legible, those kinds of terminology I have a little facility with, but by and large, I would never consider myself any kind of art or design person. And so I'm very thankful for all of them and their expertise, because most of the time I can just sit there and be like, that sounds amazing, / that looks amazing.
Yeah.
Great job. Like, that is what I do most of the time, because they're all great. And I'm very much that is the thing that I feel the least confident about, probably in my job, is the art and design side.
But it does sound like you've developed a facility over the course of your experience where you're able to have intelligent conversations. And then also it's not even just about what these particularly talented folks are doing, but for you to be able to set the parameters for the kinds of things that they should think about in the course of the work that they're going to do. It sounds like you have the, you know, very well-developed ability to pass that on.
Yeah, it's about, you know, the one thing that I definitely have learned and have become good at over the years is understanding, like, what things does my art director and the artist or the designer need in order to do really great work, and so to make sure they have those things. So it's like, how much of the story do I need to give them if I'm giving them, let's say, a character description, because we're going to be doing original art for a new character or something, what sorts of information, what sorts of descriptive notes, what sorts of extra material is going to give them the clearest idea so that they can move forward. And so learning all of that has definitely been a key part of me making sure that I am, in the way that it works as being a project manager with anything, is like making sure you're giving the people who have that expertise everything they need in order to be awesome. And so that, yes, that is definitely how I see my role with art and design.
Terrific. I love that. That's awesome. Speaking of your work as an editor and thinking about your, just the way that you approach it at different stages of the editorial process, I wonder how you think about your audience and who your audience is. And I'm sure this is not necessarily a simple answer, and it probably changes with each step of the process, perhaps. So when you are reviewing a manuscript at whatever stage, are you thinking in terms of the end reader or the author themselves and how you're providing feedback, or any other parties that might be involved in the approval process, whether it has to go, you know, a level above you for review as well, or whether it's going to Lucasfilm for their approval? And I'll let you offer any other options or combinations where that could happen. But how does that editorial frame, that mindset, change for you as you work through the process of subsequent drafts of a novel? And, you know, how, you know, or how does it get balanced?
Oh, this is a really good question. this is an amazing question, and you are correct. It does not have a simple answer. All right. So to start, I'm always thinking about audience in two relatively parallel, but sort of two different tracks. One audience is the author, the person who's writing the words. They are one of my audiences that I'm always thinking about, because every author's approach, every author's writing style, every author's voice, every author, the way they work is completely different. And if I am not keeping the individual author and their expertise, their skills, their voice, their experience in mind when I'm working on their work, then I am doing them a disservice, because I can't edit, let's say, Tim Zahn the same way that I would edit Delilah Dawson. The same way I would edit Claudia Gray or Mike Chan or Adam Christopher, and, you know, I could keep doing this. You know, I could literally name every Star Wars ever. So if I was trying to apply a sort of like editorial style, it's like everybody gets edited the exact same way, and I'm looking and concerning myself with the same things for every single author, I'd be doing every single author a disservice. I'd also not be doing my job, because my job as an editor is to make every author's work the best version of itself. So I'm making Tim Zahn's work the best version of Tim Zahn's work. I'm making Delilah Dawson's work the best version of Delilah Dawson's work, etc. So That is one audience that I always have in mind, and that really never changes regardless of what stage of the story we're in. If it's the manuscripts I'm seeing for the very first time, or it's those last final page proofs that I'm triple checking just before they go off to the printer. That really never changes. And that's a thing that you develop by working with an author over time. You know, the very first time that you work with an author is very much it's as much about a project and working together as it is about educating each other on how do you write, how do you edit, how do you like to write, how do you like to edit, and vice versa, and sort of sharing that knowledge with each other so that you can create a nice editorial relationship. And then over time, if you work with someone multiple times, you know, you start to create you start to have a shared understanding and a shared language of how you like to write and like to edit and like to collaborate. So that's one piece. And that's, again, that's mm-hmm. kind of static. It never changes for me. And I'm always checking myself against the author, against what I think the author's trying to achieve, and thus how much have we earned those things they're trying to achieve, against what is most important to the author for each project. I actually sit down and I ask every author almost every single time, I will say kind of point blank, what's the most important thing about this story to you as the author? And then whatever they tell me, I basically, you know, I write that down and I keep that in mind, and it becomes a sort of, no matter what, do not ruin this thing. No matter what, make sure that this thing is absolutely the best version of itself, because that's the thing that's most important to the author. So that's one group.
And thank you for mentioning that too, because that's actually a really important point that I did not address as far as conceiving of asking you this, is how do you prepare an author for the beginning of a project in that regard? And it sounds like there is a conversation that happens where you're learning about what's going to work best for them and what they're really trying to achieve. And are you helping, for example, if a new author was coming into the fold for Star Wars, would you be also kind of helping them refine the idea of what they're trying to achieve in some fashion?
Only in so much as it serves whatever the overall goal of the story is. You know, mm-hmm. if the thing that's most important to them is like not the main plot or the main thread of the story, like that's actually totally fine, because sometimes there'll be an element of the story that they're like, this part of the story, by the way, is deeply personal to me because it reflects some experience or some person or something that I've experienced in my actual life, and I want to reflect that in the story that is also about like all these other things going on. And so that mm-hmm. is, you know, in those situations, I don't tell the person, oh, well, that shouldn't be in the story. It's just about saying, great, and in service of making that the best version of itself, let's not lose the main thread of what else we're trying to achieve in the book. But there is a sort of back and forth of chatting and talking about how you can best achieve that and how you can achieve that like within the framework of the overall story that has, you know, a bunch of different objectives. We've got to convey this lore and build up this character and explain this plot device and, you know, do all these things. And so particularly when I haven't worked with an author before, I will spend more time at the front end of a project really trying to unpack what's important to them and unpack the ways in which they want to go about kind of reaching those different goals, and not really tell them, oh, don't do that or don't do this, but more like saying, okay, cool, it's great to understand that this is the way you want to do it. And then once they start to put into practice in the manuscript, to see, well, how well is that working? And if it isn't working, how do we get to the same end goal, maybe doing it a different way or layering in something we didn't think about at the beginning. So it does, that also does change or affect the way that I chat with authors, particularly ones who I'm working with for the first time, or maybe I've only worked with once before. And that is a way that shapes the early process of the book.
Got it.
Yeah. But to get back to your question about, get back to the other part of the question about
authors. Right.
The other half is, yes, the other half is kind of an amalgam. If one side of the equation is very statically and always the author, the other side of the equation is the reader, the, let's say, community at large, because that's not always the same as the reader, the other people who have a stake in the book. So it might be my friends at Lucasfilm who are approving the project. It might be another thing that is connected to this book, if it's part of a larger series or if it's connected to like a video game or something like that. And those different audiences, they don't like wax and wane during the project. It's not like at some point, like I stop caring about whether or not, you know, something's going to work for Lucasfilm or something is going to fit within the framework of the storytelling that we do. But I am kind of always balancing those things. And I am trying to keep them in mind. I always try to keep the reader in mind from a perspective of how much information does this book assume you have? And then based on that, how much information does it give you in order for you to enjoy and understand the story? And is it then a book that you need to have done a lot of homework in order to read and really enjoy, which is sometimes true of, let's say, books later on in a big book series or something like that, right? Obviously, book three in a trilogy kind of requires the homework of books one and two, right? But a standalone book probably doesn't require a lot of homework. It maybe only requires like a little bit of understanding. When I think about the reader too, I also try to think about, I try to break readership down, particularly with Star Wars, where like everyone in Star Wars has a thing that they love the most, where they care about the most, that maybe a lot of other people either don't really care about or like aren't even like aware of or don't even pay attention to. And yet there are people who are just like the most engaged about like a character, right? Or the most engaged about like something that is otherwise relatively minor. It is not central to Star Wars. And when I am editing a book, I actually try to imagine like, okay, what is going to happen if like the most engaged reader who loves this particular character reads this story? What are they going to think about it? What do I want them to think about it? What do I want them to take away from it? And it seems strange to maybe try to break readership down to a single person. But the reason that I do that is, one, it is sometimes hard to wrap your mind around trying to please or trying to imagine what is going to appeal to like everyone inside a fandom and, you know, like everyone inside the Star Wars community. That's a big question, right? That's old thing. And that's impossible to wrap your arms around. So I try to often imagine like the most engaged person. How do I make them love this? And if they love it, I will imagine then that that will diffuse itself and more people will end up loving it, right? As much as that engaged person loved it. But then the last part of the audience thing is just kind of at each stage, you talked about like, how does it change from, you know, one stage to another, you know, the initial manuscript outline all the way through the different drafts, is kind of at each stage to check yourself and say, okay, have the changes that we've made between, you know, draft one, draft two, draft two, draft three, whatever it is, have those made the book better? Are they solving the problems that we might have identified in draft one that the audience might have? Oh, they don't know enough about X, or they're going to confused about Y, or, you know, we haven't adequately explained Z. Have the changes that we made actually solved that problem? Or have they addressed that issue for that particular audience? And I kind of do that at every stage. And it, you know, some of them, it's very simple. You know, if Lucasfilm sends me notes and says on draft one, hey, XYZ is not quite working, we got to take a look at that. Well, when I go to send them back the next draft, ideally we have addressed XYZ. You know, and that's very simple because it's pretty tangible on the page. But I try to do that when I'm thinking about the audience, like the readership. We try to do that. I have conversations with the authors at each stage being like, this is what I'm seeing. This is what I think a reader might take from this. This is how a reader could receive this. And we sort of go through those different layers when we're addressing the different drafts. And you just try to hone down towards, again, it sounds trite, but I use this phrase all the time, the best version of itself. I mean, ideally the best version of itself is serving the reader like the most amount of either joy or understanding or emotion, if it's that kind of book, as some of our recent books have definitely been. So this was like a really, even now that I'm thinking about it, I'm like, oh my God, was that even the right answer? But like, this was a really excellent question. I'm really glad that you asked it because I think as much time as we spend talking about like, oh, what cool starfighter can we put in this book? Or like, what color lightsaber could this Jedi have? Like, we spend just as much time, if not more, talking about like, how does this work with the audience we're trying to reach? And how does this, you know, how does this part of the book like help the audience understand? Or how does this entertain them more? And it's a massive, massive challenge. It's a massively important part of how an editor, any editor, approaches the work that they are doing.
And I love how you boil it down to that sort of, you know, persona kind of situation. It is, you know, very sort of marketing oriented way of thinking in creating that, you know, deeply engaged fan as an ideal person to whom you're, you know, thinking about and envisioning as you work through your process. And also from the character perspective, and I think Thrawn certainly lends himself to that kind of discussion. And it's an interesting kind of reversal on that idea about you're thinking about it through the lens of like one particular character. How are people going to react to Thrawn? How are people going to react to any other main character? I imagine it gets a little more difficult when you have something like, say, Battle Scars that just came out earlier this year, where you've got Cal certainly as a main character, but everybody also cares equally about Marin and Seer and Grease. You know, they all have sort of a supplementary interest for people that I would imagine rises to a higher level than maybe some supplementary characters in other novels.
Yeah, and I mean, I think if you have watched, this has happened, and you know, this happens in a lot of different communities, but I think Star Wars is one where it has happened for a long time, and it keeps happening in a very, I think, very forward way, which is just there. It often is that the level of the intensity of the way that people connect with the side characters really, honestly, almost matches the intensity with which they connect with the main characters
against
Star Wars across everything. And so, yeah, I'm always thinking, like, I always approach everything as like, there is somebody out there who loves this character as much as anyone can love any character. And so as hard as this can be, it's like you have to treat that character with the same level of care and intent as you would, you know, the most top line character. You can't pay lip service to a character just because they're a side character, because they are someone's favorite character in Star Wars, which is immensely challenging. But it's also immensely rewarding, because then, in particularly because often books are the places where sometimes those side characters who in another piece of media might only be given 5 or 10 minutes, I don't mean literally, I mean, you know, sort of like figuratively, they might only have a few minutes. They might only get one moment in a story where they get to shine. Books historically have often been a place where you can give that character more than 5 minutes to shine, right? You can really give them the space to play and be and really showcase what makes them so awesome that someone would fall that, you know, become that enamored with them over just a single moment in something else. And so it's a big responsibility, but it's absolutely worth it. When you see someone be like, this character appeared on only 3 pages of this book, and I adore everything about them. That's awesome.
Definitely. And when you go through the process of editing, when you're going from, you know, one draft to the next, it sounds like your particular job as more of a project manager than as simply an editor, so to speak, it sounds like that actually would help you, comparatively speaking, when reviewing one draft versus successive drafts, in terms of being able to cleanly evaluate how the drafts are evolving. Because you are involved in multiple projects, it gives you the opportunity, I would imagine, to kind of be able to approach the subsequent manuscript drafts from a fresh perspective, as opposed to, you know, if you were reviewing them over and over again serially, maybe having to approach that process in a different way to keep the palate cleansed, so to speak.
Yeah, that is a bit of a danger, that if you read something too many times in a row in a really short amount of time, you know, you lose your feel for it a little bit. And it is helpful to try to find moments to step back from it, oftentimes, because that is often the moment where if there's a problem you're trying to solve, there's just some sort of, there's something in the plot's not working. Oh, this character arc, it's missing something, but we don't know what it is, but we can tell it's missing something. Being able to step away from it, you know, put it away for a second, go think and do something else, and then come back to it, allows your brain to then be like, oh, wait, here's the solution. And I can't tell you the number of times on a book that I've been talking with an author, and we're just like, yeah, you know, we haven't gotten it yet, you know, about a thing, you know, about a particular aspect of the book. And being able to step away from it, even for a couple of days, even for like 2 days, because, you know, we don't often have the luxury where I'm like, let's just put it in the drawer for a couple of weeks, we'll come back to it. We don't generally have time to do that. But even having time to step away from it from a couple of days, or even saying, okay, the author is going to start working on some things and I'm going to think about something else for a couple of days and then I will come back to it and we'll reconvene, is often a way that, yeah, you get over those little humps and those little hurdles, those little obstacles that kind of get thrown in the way of every project. I can remember distinctly we were working on Convergence, the High Republic novel, Zoraida Cordova, the author, and I were chatting about something. We were trying to make something work around the pacing and the arc of that book, because there's obviously a bunch of POVs. There's like multiple things going on. There's information that's like being hidden from the reader until certain parts. Yeah, it's a complicated book. It has a lot of different things going on.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
We're talking around and around and around the organization of every chapter. Almost every chapter, we had like mapped out the chapters, remapped them, just like looking at the arcs of like, when is it okay to give the reader X information? Should it go before this and before that? And eventually we just sort of stopped talking about it for a couple of days and we were doing other things. And I remember we sat down to reconvene and talk about something completely different, actually. And during that conversation, because we had both had a moment to step away from it, it was just like, aha, this is what we gotta do. We gotta move this, we gotta move that, and then it all works perfectly. And there's no way that something like that, I mean, well, not no way, but those kinds of aha moments tend to happen, at least for me, when I have had some time to take a breath, step away, go do something completely different, go look at a completely different book, even if it's another Star Wars book. Like, just go look at, you know, Delilah Dawson's Inquisitor novel and then come back to one of the High Republic books, or vice versa. Doing that does give you that chance to almost reset and reset your thinking and step backwards from the, you know, the forest through the trees analogy thing. And then ideally be able to maybe solve the problem or at least take another step towards solving the problem.
Star Wars 7x7 is not endorsed or sponsored yet by Lucasfilm Limited, Disney, or 20th Century Fox, and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. Star Wars, the Star Wars logo, all names and pictures of Star Wars characters, vehicles, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Lucasfilm Limited, or their respective trademark and copyright holders. May the Force be with them. All original content is copyrighted by Star Wars 7x7. We hope you love it.
And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
Marcus, what happened?
I was changing my oil and I spilled some on the floor.
Oh, we'll use these $50 bills to wipe it up.
Perfect. Got any more?
Yeah, take a couple hundred.
Stop. Instead of using money, use an old rag. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.